This conference will now be recorded.
Thank you. Okay, I will go ahead and call the meeting to order. And Mr. Oakens, would you do roll call?
Councilman Nelson?
Here.
Councilman Fagerly?
Here.
Councilman Plowman?
Here.
Councilman Osmus?
Here.
We also have Finance Director Oakens, City Administrator Grommets, CEO of Caris Health, Mike Schramm. Andy, I'm sorry, I don't know what your exact title is. Finance Director Andy Rawling from CentraCare/Caris Health, Tammy Kuzman from CentraCare, Shelby Lindgren from the West Central Tribune, and Jenny Bolton from Kennedy and Graven. And Doug Green from Baker Tilly, I'm sorry.
Thank you. You made the rounds.
Yeah.
All right. Our first action item is to have a presentation by CentraCare Caris Health. So go ahead and we'll let you get started. So thanks again for being here and for updating us on what is going on. So thank you.
Very good. Yeah, very good. I have that and can start. Let me share my screen here real quick. Oh, Steve, it looks like I can't get to it. Are you able to right click on my?
There, let's see if that works.
Okay, there we go. All right, and everyone can see my screen okay? Everyone see my screen okay? Is that looking
yes.
good?
Yep.
All right, thank you. Yeah, good evening, everyone. Thanks for having us this evening to present. We have a couple of items that we want to go over with everyone this evening. First of all, we'll be kind of taking everyone through the current lease and affiliation agreement and kind of the updated compliance of Caris with that current affiliation. So we'll take you through some of those components of that agreement. And then also we want to spend a little bit of time just giving you some updated information on the debt refinancing at Caris. And so we wanted to take you through some of that general information also. So the first part here, if we start off with the lease and affiliation agreement, so there's various components of that agreement, and we can get everyone kind of up to date and where we are with each of those. So the first part here is the debt obligation or the rent that we pay, and as an update, all of those payments are up to date. Those are current. We do pay those to the city monthly, and also of note, as of January 1st of every year, those amounts do change a little bit based on the agreement. So those amounts were updated as of January 1st, and we are currently paying on those updated amounts. The second component here is the intergovernmental transfer payments, and also those get updated every year also. I think we do an update based on the inflation rate of the tax levy. And so those amounts are updated and are currently being made. Just a quick note on the ECPN payments that we make. The agreement between the city and Rice Hospital that expired at the end of 2020. So Steve and I are working on that agreement. We just need to get it updated. We know the amounts that need to be paid every month. We just have to update the agreement and get everyone to sign it properly. So we'll get that up to date and get those payments flowing again here real soon.
Andy, if I could just interject there, is that is the second item on our list for tonight. So we do have an updated one with the new numbers added.
Great. Yeah, fantastic. That sounds good. The second piece here then are kind of the service commitments or obligations per the agreement. And we just want to report here that really all those service commitments are in compliance, really and remain substantially and intact from the agreement. We always do kind of mention Rice Home Medical and the ambulance service. So while those are no longer offered through Rice Memorial or Caris, they are a part of CentraCare, and both of those services still remain very viable throughout the Wilmer market. So not the services didn't go away; they still stay here. They're just kind of being run through CentraCare Health. The next one here is the capital investments, and we've updated kind of the capital spending here per the agreement through December 31st of 2020. So we're 3 years into the new agreement. As of now, through the first 3 years, we've spent $14 million on capital. And as a reference point here, if we were to take the full commitment of capital, $32 million over 10 years, and just kind of broke it out equally quarter by quarter throughout that 10 years. Through the first 3 years, we would expect to be right around that $9.6 million capital spend. So you can see here we're certainly a little bit above the expected spend at $14 million. And then finally here, the audited financial statements. We did get a copy of fiscal 2020, provided that to the City Council and the Rice Hospital Board of Directors. And so the last part here then that we can talk about is we also wanted to bring up the debt refinancing or the Caris bond refinancing that we're looking to do and looking to pursue here. So just to give you some details on that, CentraCare or Caris is pursuing the refunding of some bonds, the 2012 and the 2013 City of Wilmer Hospital bonds, for debt service savings, right? We can get a better interest rate, or interest rates are much lower now than when we originally did these. So, one of the things here is that refunded debt is going to be an obligation of the CentraCare obligated group. All right, so it would no longer be a part of the City of Wilmer, and it's going to be secured through the CentraCare outstanding debt, right? And so really to maintain that tax-exempt nature of that debt, CentraCare is requesting the City of Wilmer to be a conduit issuer of that refunded debt, right? And so let me move on to this here. And really what does that mean? And what are the benefits of that? As a conduit issuer is required really to keep the tax exempt nature of that financing. And so, one of the benefits to the city is that the debt obligation, and that corresponding receivable are no longer on the city books, right? So that gets removed, and that's a benefit to the city. For Caris or for CentraCare, the benefit is the tax-exempt bonds provide a small savings or a lower interest rate compared to other taxable financings that could also take place, right? And so I think we just wanted to bring that to everybody and get that in front of the Finance Committee. That was all I had for the presentation this evening. Both Mike Schramm and Tammy Kuzman are on the line here. If there's any questions, we can certainly try to help answer those for people.
If I could, Madam Chair, Mike, do you have any additional comments on the affiliation and lease agreement commitments? We do have two other items on the agenda, the intergovernmental agreement and the debt bond financing that we would take in order, I guess, unless Chairman wants to jump to those other items first.
Steve, I really don't have any other comments. I think Andy covered the overview of the the operating lease and the commitments and so forth nicely. And we've been working on this for some time as far as the refinancing. Certainly the rates are advantageous. It's a good thing, I think, for both parties, for Caris Health, CentraCare, to achieve those savings given where the rates are in the marketplace. And it'll be a good thing, obviously, for the city, too, to get the debt out from under the umbrella of the city of Wilmer. So other than that, I really don't have any comments, but we're certainly glad to answer questions.
I'm sorry, Mr. Schramm, I should have asked you to open this up before we started. So as I always tell you, this is an opportunity for you to tell us all the good things that are going on at Caris Health too. And so I just want to thank you for being here. And if you've got anything else you wish to share with us regarding that. Otherwise, I'm going to give council members just the opportunity to walk back through the lease and affiliation agreement. But Mr. Schramm, anything else you would like to share with us at this time?
Well, there's good news and bad news. The bad news was I wasn't able to connect via my laptop to the Zoom meeting. The good news is you don't have to see me on a screen. So that's but otherwise, things are continuing to go quite well with the affiliation and with Caris and CentraCare. Obviously, it's a challenging time with COVID and dealing with everything that we're dealing with there. And before the council members got out of your previous meeting and got on the line, we were just talking with Steve some about vaccines and distribution and all the other things that logistically we're challenged with. But I'd say overall, things are going well as far as dealing with all the aspects of COVID and continuing to get patients in and access to care and so forth. So otherwise, things are going pretty well. So other than that, I don't have anything to add. Certainly, again, we can answer more questions before we're done tonight.
Okay. Any questions from any of the council members on the information that was shared with us on the lease and affiliation agreement? I am not seeing anyone raise their hand. How about if we move on to the Caris debt refunding? I think that we did receive an email that I think really shared with us kind of the importance for both the city of Wilmer and Caris Health to move forward with this. And it sounds like the T's are being crossed and the I's are being dotted. So does anybody else have any specific questions with those before we move on to the action items?
Madam Chair, if I could, we do have Jenny Bolton from Kennedy and Graven with us tonight. She is the bond counsel and was involved with the original creation of the lease affiliation agreement and has been our lead person dealing with CentraCare and communicating with them. So if you could, I'd like to turn over to her to somewhat explain where we're at in the process.
That would be great. That would be wonderful.
Good evening, Chair and committee members. I am Jenny Bolton from Kennedy and Graven, and we represent the city as its bond counsel. As you're aware, what's being proposed is a conduit revenue bond financing to refund the outstanding 2012 and 2013 hospital financings. Because this is a conduit obligation, it is no longer an obligation of the city. It becomes an obligation of the obligated group, which Caris and CentraCare are both a part of. And as was mentioned earlier, this is being done to achieve debt service savings, a lower interest cost. And as part of that, the process involved includes a public hearing, and what is being proposed is a resolution has been included in your packet that would be considered, if you recommend it, would be considered by the City Council March 1st. It would call for a public hearing in April. And after that public hearing, the financing could be authorized. Also, in connection with this refinancing, there is a proposed amendment to the existing lease. And the purpose of that amendment is to reflect the fact that right now that lease has provision for what's referred to as base rent, which is really the payments of the debt service on the 2012 and 2013 bonds. Because those bonds would be paid off, those base rent provisions are no longer applicable. So this amendment goes through and kind of cleans up all those references to the hospital bonds that will no longer apply. In addition, it clarifies that there is a provision in the lease now that says if there were ever a lease termination, the obligations of Caris and CentraCare that relate to the hospital would come back to the city. And in this case, that would not apply to the conduit bond financing agreements or obligations. So it specifically states that that provision does not apply to the conduit financing. The lease already provides that Caris and CentraCare can exercise the option to refinance that existing debt. So they are taking advantage of that option at this point. And that is all I have. If there are questions, I'm happy to answer.
Madam Chair, we do also have Tammy Kuzman from CentraCare, who has been the lead for CentraCare. I don't know if she has some comments or not, but she is with us tonight also.
That is great. Go ahead, Tammy.
Yes, I think between Andy and Jenny, they covered the key points. We're looking to expedite and receive interest rate and debt service savings on these obligations to be able to achieve those savings as quickly as possible. So as we think about all of the requirements, we would look to want to follow all of the necessary requirements as necessary, but also to get to closing and execution of our financing as quickly as possible while still meeting any of the city requirements that are needed. Thank you.
Okay. I know that this has been on the radar on our agenda list and also has been reported to the hospital board throughout the year last year. And so I looking to all of the attorneys and documents that the T's are crossed and I's are dotted that we're ready to do this. And it's my understanding that we are. Mr. Elkins, I believe that you sent out another document, I think at 4 something, we will refer to that one later. But does any council members have any other questions before we actually take action on these items?
I have a question.
Councilmember Fagerly.
Thank you, Chairman. With this conduit refinancing, could this help the city with their bond rating or a lower rate maybe? Or doesn't it matter?
I know that was discussed, and I think Mr. Gramitz spoke to that a couple of times. And would you like to address that, Mr. Gramitz?
Yeah, Steve probably has more direct information, but generally, I think it is that it was recognized as debt that the city owed, but we had a revenue stream through the lease to cover that debt. So when we talk about the bond rating, they went, well, money in, money out. It really didn't impact us too severely. And so in essence, you take away the debt and you take away the revenue and the net is still zero. Okay, if that makes sense. So yeah, probably won't make any difference to our bond rating.
Mr. Elkins, any additional comments to that?
I think Mr. Gramitz covered it pretty thoroughly. We did have conversations at our last bond rating, the removal of the debt and the removal of the receivable is exactly as Mr. Gramitz described it. The monthly payment for that debt, we will take the reserve that we have in. That's in the amount of $6 million, and that will be factored into all of the refinancing.
All right. Mr. Green, any other comments you'd like to make?
Hello. Well, I guess I would say it's not going to hurt. This $27 million outstanding. It really depends on the credit rating agency's policies and what they include in their debt ratios. And you know, sometimes with like water and sewer, and again, this is just their policies. They will sometimes exclude, most often excluded. Sometimes not in the first few years. I'm giving you too much credit rating methodology information. With this hospital revenue, they do include it in the city's debt ratios. So I am looking forward to talking to them once this gets finalized and then explaining to them, just like we did you know, back in 2017, the changes. And I'm hoping that they will reduce the city's debt burden in those ratios by you know, by $26 million. Now, is that going to chop us up you know, to a higher rating? Probably not, but it's certainly going to solidify us, you know, within this within our current rating. It's going to cut our debt burden, what they consider our debt burden, in half. So that will be a good thing from a credit rating perspective.
Thank you. I'll just, Councilmember Rasmus, any questions? Councilmember Plowman?
No, seems like a good mechanism to employ and to take advantage of rates where they're at, given the current state of things financially. And I think it's a wise hedge.
All right. Well, I just want to say thank you to everyone for being here. I know that this was sort of like a puzzle and the pieces are lining up together. And what I've heard is that it's good for the city and it's good for Caris Health and CenterCare also. So I think this is a win for our community. And so I just say thank you for everyone working together and putting it together. So any other questions, or should we move on? Does everyone want to stay for us to do the action items? We'll move on to the action item. Looks like you're going to stick around and make sure we do this. So here we go. So the first one, our intergovernmental agreement amendment. Mr. Okins, do you want to just present that a minute?
Yes, Madam Chair. There are two minor changes to the agreement. The first change is to add, and this was included in your agenda packet, item number six, which adds the 2021 ECN payment. An ECN payment is a pass-through. The city receives it and then sends it to Caris Health. The annual or the monthly payment goes from $5,900 from 2020 to the $11,033 for 2021. The other change to the agreement would be to make the agreement effective through December 31st, 2021. Those are the two changes to the agreement, and it would be staff's recommendation that you make a motion authorizing the mayor and administrator to sign the agreement.
Okay, all right. I'm looking for a motion. And again, as we did at the previous meeting, is it to bring the resolution, Brian? Is this stated correctly?
You're muted.
Brian, you're on silent.
Tell me about it. I watch everybody else not push their button, and then I don't either. No, since the committee motions are simple motions, they're not necessarily resolutions. Some of these CAR forms were created prior to the dissemination of the language change, but it would be a motion and a second to recommend the City Council adopt a resolution to do the act.
All right, thank you. Who would like to make that motion?
I'll make that.
I'll let Rick have it and I'll second it.
Thank you very much. We have a motion and a second. to adopt a motion to recommend the resolution to the City Council to execute the agreement for the intergovernmental transfer and ECPN payments by and between CARES Health, Rice Hospital, Rice Care Center, and City of Wilmer. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Okuns, can you do roll call?
Councilman Fagerly.
Aye.
Councilman Paulman.
Aye.
Councilman Osmus.
Aye.
Councilman Nelson.
Aye.
Motion
that
passed.
Motion carries. Thank you. Our next item is the debt bond conduit financing request. Mr. Okuns.
As discussed earlier, Madam Chair, the recommendation, I'm going to call it up here on mine.
Is that, Mr. Okuns, is that the updated one you sent to us this afternoon?
Yeah, for some reason, Madam Chair, that did not get into the agenda packet. Everybody should have received an email with the committee action form explaining what we discussed earlier for the city to act as a conduit financing, issue conduit financing for the repayment of the 2012A and the 2013 hospital debt. And so the action that we would recommend is that the council introduce a resolution setting a public hearing for April 5th.
Okay. And I do see that that email did get out to Shelby at the West Central Tribune. Is that correct, Shelby? You got the correction?
Yeah, I did.
Thank you. All right. Would someone like to make that motion?
I would motion to recommend the City Council introduce a resolution calling for public hearing on the issuance of conduit revenue bonds and authorizing the publication of a notice of hearing.
Okay. Second. All right, we have a motion and a second. Mr. Okuns, you had a date you stated. Do I see that in that?
Yeah, first council meeting in April, which is April 5th.
No, I know, but is it in the motion?
I believe it's in the resolution, Madam Chair, that was included in your packet, but I will verify that for sure. Jenny, you can find it faster than I can, but I believe that was the date in the resolution.
It says
yes,
there's an
that's attachment. Right. If you look at Exhibit A, you will see that is in the the first paragraph, April 5th.
All right, so we are good to go. All right. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, we will do a roll call.
Councilman Plowman.
Aye.
Councilman Osmus.
Aye.
Councilman Nelson.
Aye.
Councilman Fagerly.
Aye.
That motion resolution passes.
Okay. According to the agenda, that is what we needed from CARES Health this evening. And so you are more than welcome to stay and see the fun things we're going to do next if you would like. But I would just like to say thank you. Thank you for all you're doing for our community. And I'm glad that we were able to receive this information and take action on it tonight. So thank you.
Very good.
Chairperson,
thank you for having me.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
You too. All right, Mr. Okuns.
Madam Chair, the rest of the
items?
Pardon me?
Correct.
The rest of the items we have are for discussion. An item that has been on the agenda for some time is there was a request to consider filing fee. We have provided the information that the city clerk has compiled. She talks about the standard fee for first, second, and fourth, third, and fourth class cities statutorily, as well as charter, and has given some examples of other communities that and their fees for filing for city council or mayor in their communities. The charter does allow the city of Wilmer to increase the fee. It's presently at $5 if that's the wishes of the council. I don't know if Mr. Grammons has some additional comments. I don't see New Ulm on the New Ulm is there is at $5 as well. So I don't know what the committee would like. The statute was included. This was requested by a council member, I believe, for consideration to possibly increase the fee from $5 to something the council is wishing to do.
Are there any comments or requests from any council members?
I don't see a need to increase it. It isn't as if we have a ton of them that are applying every time they can. So we're just happy to get people that want to serve. So that's my opinion.
All right. Anyone else? All right, then we will just receive this for information. And I think we'll just quit with that. We'll receive this for information. Would that be the proper thing to do, correct?
Yes, Madam Chair, that was again a request, and the council can be updated that this is the information that we have. And if there are council members who would want to make recommendations after receiving this information, it can be referred to a committee at a later date.
All right, we will move on to the next agenda item, which is the local option sales tax report. Mr. Olkins.
And again, Madam Chair, committee members, included in your packet was the local option sales tax report that was sent to the Invest in Wilmer Group. This is from October of 19 through October of 20. We discussed at the Invest in Wilmer Group, the peak that is appearing in July was the deferment that businesses had due to the pandemic as far as paying in their collected sales tax. There was a 2-month deferment that they had or were given. And so that's why you see July peaking like it did. It basically was for 3 months. We have received more information from the Department of Revenue. We have received all the detailed information of online sales and by state, by business. And so I know Councilman Plowman had some interest in that information. If he wants to send me something that I could provide as far as how much would be considered outside the corporate limits, that could reports could be compiled. I think that is, you'll see a shift that prior to the pandemic, there was probably more local collections. That's why you don't see a large drop, I don't believe. I believe a lot of that went to online sales. And so that is a different reporting for the businesses. They have to report it differently. But we do have it. A lot of that information is private data. And so we can't give it by business. We can't give it by, we can give it by months and by in the corporate limits and outside the corporate limits. We also had initially had discussions with the League of Minnesota Cities. There is a group of cities that were given authority for local option sales tax at the same time that the city of Wilmer was. They're having discussions with legislators of a possible extension due to the pandemic. I don't know what the council's wishes are on that. If you want staff to have those discussions and bring something back, or Mr. Grammets, I know maybe you have some comments on that as well.
Chair and committee members, I think we're just looking for direction as staff that the Wilmer local option sales tax was set up on a defined 13-year period or collect $30 million, kind of whatever comes first. And we know we're not going to collect $30 million more than likely, because we're on track to collect a little over $20 million. And with inflation, maybe it could go as high as 25. So then we will be limited to the length of the agreed upon duration of 13 years, of which 1 year has already passed us. So we only have less than 12 years left to go. And one way trying to collect all $30 million would be to extend the 13 years to 16 years or 17 years. And then we could actually, you know, as projects and debt is paid off, we can incur more debt and maybe do some of those parts of the project, like the dome that weren't included in the rec field or the hockey arena in the event center. You know, it's just, those are just examples. I'm not saying that's what we would do, but by extending it an additional 2, 3, or 4 years through legislation of the state, we have a better chance of collecting the money that was allocated, keeping in mind that, you know, maybe sales weren't as high as they could have been, because we had projected $3 million a year is what we had anticipated coming in. What was, $3 million a year, right, Steve? It was $250,000 a month.
Yeah.
And we're finding out we're getting 2.1, 2.2 a year, you know, so we're $800,000 off. We're, 30%. And so when you look at it, that's going to reduce the kind of projects that we would like, number one, and the timing of it. So the staff is looking for direction to say, nope, we're stuck. We're going to hang with 13 years and whatever we get, we get. Or do you want to issue the directive to work with the League of Minnesota Cities and other cities that are pursuing extensions to try and enable the city of Willmar to collect up to $30 million if it takes 17 years or 18 years to do that? We don't have the exact terms because they're still talking, but for us not to be in the same room talking when it does impact, what Willmar can collect, staff feels that we're not necessarily doing our job. So we're bringing it up, we're asking for a direction, and if that's what you want us to do, we'll pursue it. But it should be, i.e. a commitment from the city council too. It should be not only a committee determination, but also a city council determination to move forward with that option. Thank you.
Mr. Oakens, can I just ask you to clarify, did we go to the League of Minnesota Cities to see if other cities were interested in doing this, or are other cities gathering and they're asking us if we want to be a part of it?
I did contact the League representative, the Intergovernmental Relations, Gary Carlson, and I asked him if there are other communities doing this. And he indicated that he was meeting with the tax chair and that there is a group of cities that are interested in doing this. Yes.
Okay. All right. Councilmember Osmus.
I am absolutely in favor of approaching the legislature to extend the time to try to get the max amount of funds we can to provide the amenities to the citizens that they voted for and that they are expecting to come out of the local option sales tax.
I'm going to go ahead and just speak. I'm concerned about going right now. I'm concerned about with having sat at the legislature and listened to the rhetoric to get our sales tax approved. There are so many things on the table right now. I'm just wondering if it isn't premature to be down there asking it right now. I'm not saying that there won't be a time to do that, but I'm not sure that the time is now. I don't know what they're going to do with local option sales tax this year. And, there is a conversation, I think, at the league about whether the legislature needs to be about them tightening up what's considered regional projects and then not having to come before the legislature. And it almost feels like, I don't want to make it worse for other cities or worse, you know, if it's a tax. And that's how it's presented down there. And so I'm kind of uncomfortable with the thought of going forward right now in light of everything that's going on. So go ahead, Mr. Gramitz.
Yeah, I think having the conversation doesn't hurt anything. You know, at some point they're going to say, are you in or are you out? And then, you know, the council can say, no, we don't want to, or yes, we do. But I think we need to at least be in the conversation so we can bring information back to the city council and say, there is a group. The chair of the tax committee is supportive, you know, in both the House and the Senate. And this is a non-issue as far as they're concerned. Then you can make your decision one way or the other. If we hear back that, you know, both the Senate and the House are just absolutely, positively, no way, then we bring that information back too. But I would like to have to be part of that conversation so that we know what to tell you, you know, because some people may want to pursue it and some people may not. But other than just getting an update from the league on what other people are doing, we wouldn't necessarily have a voice in the discussion part. So that's what I would encourage that we do is participate and make a decision at a later date if you want to put your name on a bill.
If that's the direction that you're thinking, just to participate, I do think that it should be shared with our legislators that they are aware of this, that they don't hear it down in St. Paul. Because there was, I think, concern when we were doing this that they were included and supportive at the time that we brought this local option sales tax forward. So before we, you know, I would say they need to be included in this conversation to see where their thoughts are regarding this. Also, just from a we asked them for their help, and I think to have a conversation with them would also be important. So, Councilmember Osmus, I'm sorry.
Oh, thank you. I think this probably is echoing a little bit of what Mr. Gramitz said, but I think we need to be at the table, and I think we need to be on board with these other cities that are pursuing it, because otherwise we're on the tail end. And I think that now is the time to strike while people have COVID on the forefront. If we come in years later, it's done. I mean, now is the time.
I have a concern about extending it. And, you know, I was very much a supporter of local option sales tax, but 13 years is a long time. This community is going to need other projects within 13 years or changes to some of those. And so to encumber the community for a longer period of time right now, I question that too. I think is especially in light of the fact that we're designing the projects based off from our revenue right now. So I have real mixed feelings about what kind of message we're sending both to our community and to the state. Councilmember Plowman, comments?
I see both aspects of it. I think, you know, it may be necessary, but I think right now the political climate's going to be really, really tense with financial issues, and I feel like we do have a while to we have some time, put it that way. Maybe not eons, but we have some time. And I think the state's going to have a lot of major financial hurdles to jump. And so maybe better to wait, or at least, you know, give it a little bit of time, because I don't think that is there a deadline?
Councilmember Fagerly, or excuse me, Mr. Gramitz, you want to reply to that?
Yeah, there is no deadline. The deadline is probably 12 years from now. When our authorization fails. So anytime between now and then, we could say, hey, remember COVID back in 2020? Now we have a problem. And I think that's perfectly fine. I mean, what staff is looking for is how do you want us to proceed because we don't want to get, you know, we don't want to blow it off and then say, have the council say, well, why didn't you tell us? And we're saying, well, we're telling you. It's up to you to decide if it's in 2021 session or 2022 or 2023, but there's always time, and it's the decision of the council can make that determination. We just want to bring it up to you and say there are people currently looking at it getting theirs extended because of COVID. That's a fact. Do you want to participate? If the answer is not in 2021, then that's good. Let's see how it plays out. And maybe, I don't know if they'd look at it in 2022, maybe 2023, they'd look at it again. But in the future, you can make that determination. That's fine. Just as a side note, other cities who have got local option sales tax basically had in their language the wording that said that their local option sales tax can continue as long as they had debt. And so some cities would sell 20-year bonds, and then by year 17, they had collected enough money to pay off their debt, and the sales tax then sunsets. Wilmer didn't do that. They basically said 13 years or collect $30 million, whichever comes first, kind of. And it's different wording. And we wouldn't be even talking if we had the other wording right now. We'd be saying, we'll sell the debt and we have the sales tax until the debt is paid off. And some cities are in that boat. Other cities are not, like Wilmer. So it's up to the council what they want to do, but we want to make you aware of either participating or not participating.
Councilmember Fagerly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would get in on the ground floor if there's other communities discussing this, because the end of the term will be the end of it for this year, and that'll be what, May, when they're done, and then they won't talk about it till next year again. So I would get in on the discussion to find out what exactly is going to happen. So that's my feeling.
I think the wording that you described, Mr. Gramitz, came about because of the community not being happy with how the last one sunsetted and how much we collected and projects we didn't do. And so we probably were our own worst enemy in writing this, the description this way. So I trust Mr. Carlson at the League of Minnesota Cities to know, kind of be able to read what's going on down there, for us to be gathering information. I just don't know, and I really would like to hear what our legislators say about it, if they would be supportive of it or not, or if we're with that before we would make a formal decision. Councilmember Ostis.
I was again going to say what Rick said, is to, I think we should get in at the ground floor. Whenever those other communities are going forward with it, we need to be on board with them. The other thing is, after we've had these two community presentations on the event center and the recreation fields, I've had comments from the public saying that they were sold a bill of goods, that we are not producing what we said was going to happen with the local option sales tax. So anything that we can do to extend that, to make those projects what we hoped they would be, I think we need to do that.
Well, I don't know that we can correct that, because the projects as they were sold are more than $30 million. And so I don't see us wanting to reach out and say we want to collect more than $30 million right now. I think the question is, can we collect, you know, with that? So I'm a little uncomfortable with just kind of the blanket, we're going to collect until we can build what we want kind of routine too. So
that isn't what I said, but if they've already had to cut back because of the limitations. So even if we can get it up to 30 million, which we don't have now without cutting out $7 million from water or the $2 million from the community center, we're short. So if that's we have to extend to get to that $30 million, then I think we have to be on board and we have to be proactive to get that money any way that we can.
Is that what you intended, Rick? Is that your thoughts on?
Yeah, we need to get to that 30 million benchmark. You know, the other two projects, the library, it sunsetted early, but it continued on for another quarter or something. So we were able to put away, what was it, 300 or 400,000 in a slush fund for the library. The other one sunset, and we were able to get some extra money there, and that money did pay for some other projects too. So this one's going to be different because it was underfunded, and we just need to get to the 30 million for sure to do our projects, kind of, even though we aren't going to get everything for it. So
Mr. Graham, it's you and Mr. Elkins are already having those conversations. Do you need something from us to actually continue those conversations right now, or what do you want?
Well, I think at this point in time, you know, both Steve and I are aware of a conversation of one elected official that says, you know, this is not the direction to go, okay? And so for us to continue on, you know, talking with the League of Minnesota Cities and the legislature, we don't want to sit there and go like, you know, we've got a split council, or we don't have a majority of the council saying this is the direction we want to go. So we said, let's start with the finance, and then we'll carry it forward to the city council and say, does the city council want us to pursue this? And then staff obviously feels very comfortable with moving it forward. If the full city council, you know, votes 5-3 or 8-0 that no, we don't want to go this direction, then we won't go in that direction either. But we want to bring it up and run it through the committees to the council so that the council can give direction to the city administrator, who will in then turn give direction to, you know, staff to have these discussions.
So this is not an action item tonight. So do you want to bring it back next meeting as a request for an action item, with some additional information from what the league is doing?
Well, there have been things that get brought up at committees and the city council that aren't necessarily on the agenda, and it's perfectly legal. That's perfectly fine. If you want to bring it up at another meeting and talk about it and forward it on, that's fine too. I just see this as we're just getting authorization to talk. We're not getting authorization to put our name on the bill and, you know, do this stuff. I don't know that this is, you know, should be any bigger than it probably really is. But from a staff perspective, we don't want to go in a direction the council as a whole doesn't want to go to. So if you feel comfortable, you know, just kind of saying, hey, this is, I think staff needs some direction. We should have the council, you know, make that decision. I'm fine with that. The item of sales tax was on the agenda. You know, it's here. You can branch off on all kinds of motions on this particular subject. This is just one of them.
Councilmember Osmus.
Do we need a motion to just recommend to have this discussion at the full council? Or we just move it up?
Mr. Graham, it's, you're on mute.
If one were to take the motion and second to recommend to the city council to instruct staff to initiate discussions with the League of Minnesota Cities and other communities to look into extending the local option sales tax, that's all we're asking. Just, you know, point us in the right direction. We'll start the discussion. And if it's possible, we'll bring it back. If it's not possible, we'll bring that back too, you know.
Then I'll make that motion so that the council can discuss it.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Mr. Grammets, you wrote it, so you want to recite it back to us?
Let me try. It's in the audio recording, but it'd be a motion to recommend to the City Council to instruct staff to work with the League of Minnesota Cities and other communities that are pursuing the extension of their local option sales tax in the 2021 legislative session.
Madam Chair or Administrator Grammets, could I have you insert into that the our local legislators as well? Into the motion. Sure.
Yeah, I don't have any issue with that. We talked about this probably 9 months ago with our representative, and he basically said, you know, that sounds reasonable, and when we get to session, you know, we should talk about that. So they're open to discussion. They didn't flat out say absolutely no way, this is, you know, we're not going to do it, but things have happened between then and 9 months from then. So but we'll make contact with them also.
You added in your motion the second time around this next year.
Well, this session.
I'm questioning that. I'm struggling with whether this year is the right time to do it or not. So,
well, that'll be part of the discussion at the league, you know, with both representatives from the Senate and the House. Is 2021 the year to talk about it or 2022? I'm saying we talk about it in this session because that's the session going on right now. We don't want to wait till the session's over and then have the whole summer from May until, you know, next January to talk about it. Let's bring it up now, talk about it. If it has legs, we'll bring it back and say, yep, they're open to it. If they decide not to want to consider it, we'll bring that back to them.
Okay. Any further discussion? Roll call.
Councilman Osmus?
Aye.
Councilman Nelson?
No.
Councilman Fagerly?
Aye.
Councilman Plowman?
Aye.
Three ayes, one nay.
That motion carries. All right. Our next discussion item is the Community Development Fund Report.
Madam Chair, what I would like to do is on our agendas as we move forward, bring forth and just kind of explain the different funds that the city has, one fund per meeting, and just kind of as an educational information item. And that way, even new council members, and I have extended to them if they want to meet and discuss some of this stuff. But the Community Development Fund, as you see in the narrative there, was established in 1975, and it was primarily established to handle the community development block grants that the city would get through their Housing Redevelopment Authority. And when the city's Housing Redevelopment Authority went away, the county HRA. It's a pass-through. When we were doing the community development grants, it was just an in and an out, and they were reconciled. In the year 2010, the city received a grant funding through the Southwest Minnesota Housing Finance Agency to do a project in Southwest Wilmer called West Wind. As part of that whole project, there was a note that West Wind and Southwest Minnesota Housing Finance Agency signed with the city. It was a 30-year note. The principal amount was the $350,000 that you see there at a 0.25% interest. No payment requirements over that 30 years. At the end of the 30-year period, the amount due would be paid for through the Housing HRA is the administrating agency for that. The balance, as you see there at that time, would be $376,000. Those funds are not available at this point. They're not available until the year 2040. The balance as of projected at the end of this year will be $360,000. So when we get into discussion about fund balances and those types of things, this will show up as a receivable available. But again, as we talked about in the past, there are restrictions on a number of different fund balances. And the restriction on this one is that it would not be available until the year 2040. But at that point, the council would be able to appropriate those dollars and designate them how they wished. So again, this is just something that I would like to start on our committees is taking a different fund each month. And then as we get into the budget cycle, the council will have a little bit more information and have discussion as we go through that process. So I'm happy to answer any questions on that.
Are there any questions for Mr. Holkins on the Community Development Fund? Looks like we're all good. Mr. Holkins, do you want to go on to the December finance report?
I'll try to make it really quick, Madam Chair. As you saw in the report, there are some departments that we will be coming back to the committee to have some adjustments per the audit requirement. The city administrator department went over that had to do with some staffing arrangements and agreements that were done after the budget was set. Planning and development services, a similar item there. Legal, we're doing some adjustments here now with the curling club, and we'll have more information as far as the different projects and the costs we had for different projects that maybe we didn't allocate to them. And so that we'll have more information. The police department, that just went over here in the last month. So we're still looking at that as well as the engineering department. But overall, pre-audit numbers is that we would have $233,000 excess revenues over expenditures for the operating part. We would have $216,000 of unspent capital projects. So that would be about $450,000 of dollars that we would as traditionally carry over and inform the mayor that amount is available when he's working on his 2022 budget. Now that process is a historical process, and the councils can certainly change that if you want to appropriate those dollars prior to that process. There's no charter requirement that is in place, but that has just been a historical process. So those dollars could be appropriated anytime between now and the budget process. In addition to that, the auditorium capital project, and I broke that out specifically, has a balance of about $689,000 available. That, if the mayor would do as process, would be available as well, which would bring the total up to $1.1 million. Excluding the auditorium amount, going back to the $450,000, as that relates to the past 3 years, we've averaged about $800,000 of carryover. So we're at about a little over half. So things are tightening up as we move forward. Some of that has to do with, as we talked about before, the aquatic center actually was a plus because we didn't have as much cost as we did to subsidize as we would have in a normal year. So those are all things that we will be talking about leading up to the 2022 budget process. But at this point, again, these are pre-audit numbers. We're finalizing that. And so there is a projected $450,000 available carryover in the general operating budget. Now, this is only talking about the general operating, and we have all these other funds that we'll be talking about between now and when the budget process starts. So I don't know if there's any questions. We will be bringing this back to you as a committee to take official action on those departments that went over their appropriated amount. Administrator Grammons, I don't know if you have anything to add.
Not unnecessarily on the overall report. Just noting that currently our planner has been working on preparing an RFP for the auditorium to get the consultant to come in and give us the architectural value, the historic value of the auditorium, so that we can then apply for grants to the State Historical Society to take our $600,000 that we have set aside for the auditorium and multiply that by two or three times by getting state funds. And we are moving forward, you know, on that. And I would anticipate, you know, in the next month or two that the council will be seeing, a request to authorize entry into a contract to get the consultant architect to prepare the report that's required before we can make application to the state of Minnesota for grants. You know, it has to have the pre-work done. And so I don't know that I would reallocate the auditorium money just when we're getting kind of fired up to use some of those funds and try and, you know, multiply it two and three times. So I just wanted, you know, to put that out there that we are moving forward with trying to get the consultant on board. And hopefully, like I said, in the next couple of months, we'll have that before the council.
That was one reason why I did break that out, because I know that there had been some work going on with that. So.
Mr. Elkins, I don't know if it's possible on our capital improvement expenditures. And I know we just had one at Public Works tonight where there was money that was in the 2020 budget that's also in the 2021 budget. Even with some of these capital improvement items that aren't zeroed out yet, but they are in the works, is there some way to know that, I mean, that if there's something that's not going forward or that it's done and there's money available, is there some way to identify another column or something that would help us to know that this is not money that's available or this is money that's available?
Madam Chair, yes, we can certainly star those that I added that were completed that the departments have notified me. We will star those that they are completed. And so any ones without stars, like the Swanson Field, I'll use the Swanson Field lighting, for example. Those lights are ordered. We just have not been billed until they do the install on them. And the similar thing for the park equipment of $58,000. Again, we've got the equipment, it's in storage. That's the remaining amount that we'll take to do the install. So we will identify, I don't know if you want the ones that are still in works or if you would like those that are completed. We can do either, if you have a preference.
Well, I think I'm also sensitive to the fact that the carryover is used to help build next year's budget. And so if we don't have the carryover, then we have different issues with our budgeting process that you know will be short to do the next year's budget. So but I think I see some things sometimes where we talked about the robot system the other night with the police department, and there's $18,000 there. And if they're not going to do that, then maybe that $18,000 should be allocated to the new position we just created. You know, I don't know. But it feels like it would be nice to know if there are things we're not going to do. But I think also if we're going to strengthen our CIP project, then we should expect that the CIP projects are going to be done too, that there's a responsibility to get them done. So I've kind of, you know, I think if we're going to, you know, look at how we operate, maybe we need to fine tune on our CIP, what our intentions are and why they're not being done too. So.
Yeah, Madam Chair, and that $216,000 number that I gave you, that is confirmed items that have been completed or will not be used based on department input.
Thank you.
We'll identify that in our next report, or we can certainly do that.
Thanks. Any other questions? You have more to go through, don't you, Mr. Elkins?
Just one more on the investment report, Madam Chair. I just want to make a couple comments. We have a lot of money right now sitting. The city has a lot of money sitting in mutual funds due to interest rates and advice from our financial advisors and brokers. A lot of that, even in the mutual funds, if this refinancing for Caris Health goes through, it's probably a good thing that it was in mutual funds and money markets, because if that financing goes through, we'll cash flow wise need a little over $6 million to make that happen. So but interest rates right now, to give you an example of where they're at, a 5-year Federal Home Loan or Fannie Mae is 0.9%. And it only goes down from there. If you go out a year or 2 years or 3 years, it's below a 0.5%. So that's why a lot of the dollars right now are in money markets or mutual funds. We do use the League of Minnesota Cities 4M fund, but that one, again, as you saw on the reports, the rates are 0.02. So we go by cash flow. February is always a bond payment, as is August. And so we do project when we do need money. But right now, we don't want to tie the money up at those rates for any length of time. We try to stay in the 2-year or less mark, unless the council gives us direction otherwise.
All right, any questions for Mr. Oakens?
The last comments I have, Madam Chair, I don't see any questions, is on the departmental report. Our department's been busy with the Caris Health, communicating with them, the local option sales tax projects, the curling club, Epitopics. We are working with the engineering department to replat the industrial park for the possibility of excess land sales for additional revenue that the council can allocate to the projects that are all being discussed, and the normal year-end audit and getting those done as well. It's a busy time of the year for finance.
All right. I know you guys are busy and working hard. So we thank you for your efforts with all of that. So Mr. Oakens, do you want to walk through the future agenda items? There's some, you want us to review these policies. You'll be bringing them back to us. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. We are waiting for information from the Park and Rec Department. They have a couple small grants, the Pen Pal and the Tobacco Free. We did not have the committee action form, so those will be coming when we receive those. The Civic Center has a budget amendment for some ice rentals that were not factored in with the Warhawks and the Hockey Association. We will have some investment policy recommended changes just due to the market and where the interest rates are. The fund balance policy, we are just having some clerical amendments to that, and we'll have a lot of discussion on that. The federal path local financing is being worked on to be included in the 2021 improvement financing. We'll work with engineering, and we just received a listing today, so that will be at a future meeting. And then included also, I believe, was the League of Minnesota Cities is proposing some legislation that deals with property taxes and cities being required to form a citizen committee to be involved in making those recommendations. So
is that just for our information, or are they looking for input back from us?
It's only information that we received, that's being worked on by the tax, or being possibly proposed by the tax chair, Mr. Marquardt from Dilworth, I believe is where he's from.
Okay. And then the investment policy and the fund balance policy that are in here are the old ones, but when we are ready to deal with them, you'll have updated versions. Is that correct?
Legislatively printed. Yeah. So you'll see what the old language is and the new proposed language.
Okay. All right. Any questions for Mr. Oakens? Mr. Gametz, any words of wisdom?
No.
Oh, come on. You could be our brightener for the evening. So, all right. Mr. Fagerly, Councilmember Fagerly, anything else?
I'm fine.
All right. Councilmember Ospis.
I'm good.
Councilmember Plowman.
I'm hungry.
Yeah, I know. And I just want to apologize again. I know our other meeting ran longer.
That's probably on me.
Well, it was the subject matter too. So I thank you all for your time. And I'm glad we got the things done we did. So everybody have a good evening. So thanks. A motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. We are adjourned. Thanks, everyone.
Good night.